Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, who by thy death didst take away the sting of death, grant unto us thy servants so to follow in faith where thou hast led the way, that we may at length fall asleep peacefully in thee and wake up after thy likeness through thy mercy, who liveth with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. What is death? Death for believers is a normal experience. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 14, verse 8, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." We as believers in Jesus Christ will depart from this present life to the joy of God's presence. As believers, we are safe and secure, as Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For believers, death will be reversed in our resurrection. The death of believers is likened to sleep. The implication here is rest, renewing and awakening. While preparing for today's sermon, I recall a time when I found in the attic of the home I was raised in a photograph, or a picture as you may, of one of my relatives lying in the casket in my grandmother's home. In the casket with a sign that said, "Resting, not dead." In Acts 7, verses 59 to 60, we are told about the stoning of Stephen. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In this passage, sleep does not mean or imply the lack of consciousness, but rather rest and renewing and awakening. In the New Testament, the term sleep only applies to believers. In the Old Testament, we're told in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, "And many of those who sleep in the dust and the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Now Lazarus was buried according to the customs of the Jews at that time, because the climate in that country was warm and burials had to take place soon after someone died. Friends and at times hired mourners would come and wail and mourn very dramatically after the person had died and was buried. The mourning process would usually last about 30 days. In the New Testament, we are told about three deaths and three resurrections. In Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 43, we are told about one of the rulers of the synagogue named Jairus, who had a little girl who died. He found Jesus and fell at his knees and told Jesus about his little girl and asked Jesus to come and lay his hands on her. While they were speaking, someone from the house came and said not to trouble the teacher any longer, because the little girl had died. Jesus told the ruler not to fear, but only believe. Only Peter, James, and John accompanied Jesus to the house. As the story about Lazarus, there were people wailing and making commotion. Jesus went into the house to the little girl's room and took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The little girl got up and began to walk and talk. In Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17, we read about another person who had died, and Jesus raised a man. Right after raising Jairus' daughter, Jesus and his disciples went to Nain. And upon reaching the city gates, they saw a man carried out who had died, who is the only son of his mother. When Jesus saw the woman, he had compassion for her and told her not to weep. He then touched the bier, and those who were carrying it came to a stop. Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The young man did and began to speak. Now today's raising. When Lazarus got sick and Martha sent word to Jesus, they wanted Jesus to come and heal their brother. This story puts our faith to a test. Are we all able to accept the raising of Lazarus as an historical event, or could it be fiction? This story about Lazarus being raised is an anticlimax in John's gospel. The climax is Jesus' resurrection. If you truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus that we'll be celebrating 2 weeks from now on Easter Sunday, then you too won't have any problem believing this story. All the signs of John's gospel of what Jesus had done prior to raising Lazarus are revelations as to who Jesus is and what he offers us. His last sign was the raising of Lazarus. This sign points to Jesus' death. Death is not the end. It is a new beginning for all believers. The sickness Lazarus had was an opportunity for God to be manifested through his Son. All through the New Testament, we're showing how God loves us and the life-giving power of his Son to those he healed. The raising of Lazarus was the most breathtaking sign of God's glory. God, our Father, is the only one who can give life to a dead person by his love for them. God's love is the heart of the Gospels. The glory of God is seen in this victory over death. This is only possible by the death of someone. After we read about the death of Lazarus, we soon will read about the death of God's Son, Jesus himself. Jesus loves Lazarus and his sisters, Martha and Mary. He is about to perform his most amazing sign yet. Jesus only does what his Father's will, and this is the biggest of them all, until his Son was raised. At the beginning of chapter 11, Jesus was nearby when word reached him that Lazarus was sick. He was about a day's journey from Bethany. When Jesus heard this, he said in John 11, verses 4, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through him." Jesus decided to stay where he was, and it was two more days. He told his disciples that they should head for Judea. This is where Bethany is, located in the southeastern slope of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus then told his disciples that Lazarus had fallen asleep. They thought that he would wake up refreshed. Jesus and his disciples arrived close to Bethany. For Jesus, this was dangerous territory for him. He already knew what awaited for him in Jerusalem. When Jesus came, Martha told him that Lazarus had died. In John 11, verse 22, she said to Jesus, "But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Martha viewed Jesus as an intermediary who was heard by God and didn't understand that he was God himself. Her faith was real, but flawed. Yet in verse 22, when she said, "But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." That was a great statement of faith by her. Jesus told her that her brother would rise again And Martha says she knew he would in the resurrection. She believes her brother could have been healed by Jesus if he'd only been there. Jesus then told her in John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he died, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes in me shall never die. Jesus asked her if she believed this, and she replied that she did. She said in John 11, 27, Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Those who believe in Jesus, their lives will not be interrupted by physical death. When Martha used the words Lord and Christ, she combined the two most common titles used for Jesus in the Bible. By her using these titles, gives the impression that she had not understood what Jesus was telling her, but is staying with him and was confessing what she knew, which is what faith is all about. Having faith carries a communion with Jesus, creates a communion with Jesus, and that through Jesus, we as believers will receive the gift of eternal life. Mary finally came to Jesus and she fell at his feet and told Jesus that had he had been there, her brother would not have died. In John chapter 11, verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. One of my commentaries thus said, for a better translation would be, Jesus became angry in spirit and very agitated instead of greatly troubled. The wailing of the mourners may have been what provoked the response by Jesus. It may have been provoked because of the perceived lack of faith and quickness of mind both sisters had. Now we come to the sentence that everyone knows. Jesus wept. He most likely shed tears because of the pain and sadness the mourners felt. He was fully human and was capable of having human feelings like we all do. Others that Jesus brought back to life had only been dead a few hours. Lazarus had been dead at least 4 days, possibly more. And by that time, decomposition had set in. So when Jesus asked for the stone to be moved away, they warned him that there would be an odor because he had been there for 4 days. Jesus reminded them in John 11, 40, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and Jesus prayed to his Father and then called Lazarus to come out. Lazarus came out, wrapped in burial cloth, and Jesus told the people to remove the cloth. Lazarus was as he had been before he died, before his illness. The raising of Lazarus was a sign of who Jesus is, his identity and authority over death as life giver. He also reflects the truth about the resurrection of the body. God can restore physical bodies even after they had begun to decay. The raising of Lazarus sets in place the move by Pharisees to have Jesus killed. Their power had been threatened. They were upset before, but now this was the straw that broke the camel's back. It won't be long, and the Pharisees will begin to lose their power permanently once the resurrection happens. And now to God, the Father, and to God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, world without end. Amen.